Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey everybody, Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon, all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Opening segment of the show, as it is every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Matt Present does the play-by-play for Appalachian State Basketball. The Mountaineers are in Hattiesburg as we speak, ready for a game tonight. Hope that there'll be a big crowd for that. Women played last night. Going to review all of that in just a moment. But first, want to thank Dickies for sponsoring the opening segment of the show, and Forest Healthcare for reminding us all about the importance of taking care of ourselves, getting annual physicals, eating right, exercising. Be sure that your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Okay, before we preview tonight's basketball game, let's talk about what's already happened. And Dima, the women were on the road last night, made a courageous run in the second half, but unfortunately fell short.
Yeah, and I was keeping up with the game because I wasn't able to watch it because I was at church. It's the first half was just atrocious. You know, yeah. They were down 18, 17 points. Early in the third quarter, they were down 18 points, and then I just kind of turned my phone off and was like, all right, I guess we'll just, look at the stats later. But then I checked, I got the tweet notifications from women's basketball, and it said, 8-0 run or something like that, and Southern Miss is only down 7. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So then I pulled it back up, and, man, they really made it a game. Ja'Kayla Johnson tied it there at the very end with 33 seconds left to play. And then Georgia Southern – Kayla Cleveland is her name. She hit a three with 6.5 seconds left in regulation, which, by the way, was the only shot she made the whole game.
It was a rainbow, too.
That's right. I think it hit the ceiling rafters. Yeah. But Southern Miss, battled nicely. And again, I'm sad that they lost. Of course, you want them to win, but Georgia Southern is one of the better teams in the Sun Belt, and we documented that yesterday. And I think for them just to push them to that, final possession, that's really encouraging to see from the Southern Miss women's basketball team. It's something I think they can build on, and it shows us that this team can win on the road, and they got to go do it here in the next game and the several games coming up after that.
Well, I think as you get older, you kind of put things a little bit more in perspective that winning isn't necessarily everything. You want to make sure, obviously it's great if you can win, but you just want to make sure that your teams are competing. And it would have been real easy, considering that horrific start that they got off to, that they would have just folded their tent and said, it's just going to be another road loss. But, man, the way they battled back, it's almost like I hate losing games like that. I'd sometimes think you'd rather lose by 30 or 40 points where you're never in the game. But to battle back so hard and to be right on the cusp of victory and then have it stolen from you at the last minute.
And then that girl that Dima mentioned threw up a hope. I mean, it was like it was in the air forever. It was so high up in the air and hit the bottom of the net.
Kind of a TTT moment, right?
And if you're Southern Miss basketball, you're kind of like, you just let her shoot that.
Of course.
The girl, 30 points, I forgot her name, but, she was going off. And in that last moment, Southern Miss was double-teaming her. That's how the other lady came open there. And you just kind of tip your hat, and you're like, okay, girl, you made a good shot, and Southern Miss missed their shot on the other end.
Lady Eagles did have a shot on the other end, but as you say, it came up short and didn't make it. So the Lady Eagles lose. Men on the floor tonight, and Kelly, you can't say must win when you're 11-11 or 11-10 and you still got some time to play, but shall we say badly needed win tonight.
And when you look at 6 of the last 9 conference games are going to be at home, and again, this is not a team that's going to be the number one seed in the tournament, but you don't want them to be the 10 or 11 seed either. So
you don't want to be below sixth.
No, correct. Correct. So, and that's where I'm going with this is you got six out of your last nine at home. The Eagles, as all the teams in the conference are statistically much better at home. You got an App State team that is 6-4 in the league. And what's problematic for the Eagles tonight, and we'll talk about this with Matt Present later on, is that the Mountaineers are the top scoring defense in the conference. And if the Eagles don't shoot the ball well against a team that already has defensive prowess, it has the makings for a potential disaster. But you don't want to lose any at home, especially when you haven't been able to pick off many on the road, except for those two teams that everybody's beating in Lafayette and Monroe. So this should be an interesting contest. But again, six out of the last nine are at home. Talik Weeks is starting to play much better. That certainly is needed. And then what is the countdown as far as Isaac Tavares coming back? You know, that'll be the other question that Jay Ladner and his staff, I'm sure, will get in the postseason press conference or post-game press conference
tonight. Sure seems like a long time since they've been at home.
Yeah, it really has been. And, of course, now both teams are on four-game losing streaks, so both teams really need a victory within the next couple of games to get some confidence back. And hopefully the men can get one tonight and the women get one on the road on Saturday. I think they're playing at Old Dominion next. So, yeah, hopefully they can get it. And as far as the men's sake, you're right, Kelly. I mean, you mentioned that App State, one of the best scoring defenses in the league, if not the best.
They are.
Scoring.
Okay. Yeah, number one.
So if they're not, they are the best scoring defense in the league, and this is already a Slim Miss team who struggles to shoot the basketball.
Right.
So you're probably looking at a lower scoring game because you would think at home that Southern Miss's defense would be up to the task, but can Southern Miss score the basketball enough to win has been the question. I mean, I don't necessarily think the defense has played that bad over the last four games. The offense just can't score. And so, you know, time will tell tonight, but you would think that App State would be favored, if not, you know, picked to win this game just on that notion alone.
And because the Eagles have struggled to make the three-point shot, other teams are breaking to the inside and trying to deny everything inside, forcing the Eagles to score from the outside, which they've been wide open at times and just haven't made the shots.
Yeah.
So that when you know that one element or one aspect of your offense is not effective, just like in football, if the you know the team can't pass or they can't run, you right go toward the other aspect, which is what I expect App State to do tonight.
I was about to say, I mean, I would legitimately sit in 2-3 zone defense if I was playing against Southern Miss. You know, block off the paint, make them shoot anywhere from 15 to 30 foot jump shots
and if they make them, their hand.
That's
right?
What I'm saying with Old Dominion, or Georgia Southern last night. If that girl makes it, whatever. You know, it is what it is. But
is it safe to say, though, that no team has pulled away in the league? There's no men's team that's just unbeatable at this point, which gives hope for all the teams in the middle. Is that a fair statement?
It is. And from a fan standpoint, you kind of like that. Mm-hmm. That no matter where maybe you are, from a fatigue standpoint, It's not being the one seed or the sixth seed as far as who's that much better than the other. But really, if you go beyond six, then you get into fatigue and bench depth because you have to play day after day after day in Pensacola. Yeah. So that's why I don't think there's going to be a runaway number one.
I do think that. I think Troy is the best team in the league right now, just with the way they play defense and the way they can shoot the basketball. They're 8-1 in conference right now, 15-6 overall. I think they're going to be really tough out anywhere you play them, regardless if you have them at home or on the road. What is funny is all the teams below Troy are all in that mumbo jumbo. For example, like if Southern Miss wins the next two games, they jump up back up to like third in conference standing because everybody's separated by like a game and a half from second place to 10th. So we can say that Southern Miss is in 10th place, but I mean, they're really basically tied for second or third, you know. So
yeah, I think all those teams are like a game and a half
apart.
They are.
Georgia State is second in the conference right now with a 9-12 overall record.
That's terrible.
But they're winning their
conference game.
Yeah, those are the most important ones.
They're
6-3
in conference.
You said how many of the last conference games are at home?
6 out of 9.
Well, here's the opportunity.
Right.
Here's the moment we've been waiting for that will make a determination on a lot of things affecting men's basketball.
And if you lose any of these games at home, it's like giving two back to the field because not only did you not hold serve at home, but somebody else has won a road game. So it is big, and with really, I would argue, the most important part of the schedule still ahead of them, because it is home court lopsided the rest of the schedule.
Game time tonight, guys?
Seven. And I do want to contend that the next two games Southern Miss has, at home against App State and at home against James Madison, these are two games that you need, because these are not the top in conference. You know, James Madison not having the best season, which is actually incredible considering how good they've been in almost every single sport. And then App State's, you know, decent, but they're not a runaway team. But the next few home games that Southern Miss has, Troy being one of them, Old Dominion being another, South Alabama, also a really good team, and they have to go to Marshall. So those four next conference games are not going to be easy. So if you can get two here, that's what you need.
All right, everybody, for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, just remember one name, MCS Home Center. They have everything you need for your home, your lawn, or your garden. It's a local home improvement store, local folks eager to help you. They're at 7329 Highway 98 West. Still to come on the Eagle Hour, Matt Present from Appalachian State will join us later in the program. In the meantime, we'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Eagle Tire West sponsors the second segment of our program every day, Highway 98 West. Goodyear products, full-service truck and auto service, great Southern Miss supporters. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service. They're located on Highway 98 West next to Smith Motor Company. Hope that you will check them out. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or Alexa or Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. A few news and notes to go over. Dima, you just indicated during the commercial break that the NCAA, I gather, ruled to go keep the college playoffs the same next year for football. But where do the group of five schools stand in all this?
Yeah, so basically they said, or the Big Ten wanted 24 teams and the SEC wanted 16, so they just couldn't agree, so they just stuck with 12. And the group of five representee does not have to be a conference champion anymore, so that would mean that, for example, like if Tulane got in the playoff this year as a conference champion, hypothetically, if they were playing somebody like UAB in the conference championship game and UAB won, Tulane would then still be the highest ranked group of five team. That's just to, you know, carry that on. But that does mean that more than likely you're never going to see two group of five teams in the playoff again, because just a champion is not going to automatically be included. Because the reason JMU got in was because they were a champion and they were higher ranked than Duke was as the ACC champion. But now it's just the highest ranked, not a champion, that a group of five team can get in, if that makes sense. They also changed the fact that if you're a Power Four conference champion, you have to get in. So Duke would have gotten in over James Madison last season because they were a Power Four conference champion and did not make the field.
And isn't there a caveat, too, regarding Notre Dame?
Yes. Well, I thought we mentioned this a few shows ago. But
just go over that again if you
want. Notre Dame, if they are ranked in the top 12, they are automatically in the playoff, which is just ridiculous.
The one single school.
One single school, which is just ridiculous. I mean, you can't even – I cannot believe that nobody on sports shows and stuff are talking about that. Like, that just – Is that ridiculous? Like, am I crazy? Like, that just sounds ridiculous.
And everybody else has said, join a conference like everybody else. If you think like you're being treated unfairly and that the conferences have an advantage over you, well, then join one.
No. But I think we can all agree that there probably should not have been two group of five schools in the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm.
But no matter, look, it doesn't matter, like in the NCAA basketball tournament, it doesn't matter how many teams you add. There are going to be teams that are butthurt because they didn't get in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, once you go to 16, then the 17th ranked.
Correct.
You know, it is what it is.
But, yeah, so that's...
But I don't think we should be putting in, you know, the... I don't know. I don't want to get back into all that.
Yeah.
I want to go over to this, though, because this is fun, and people like this. The MLB Draft D1 Prospect Rankings came out yesterday afternoon. Number two on the list is Jackson Flora, who's the Santa Barbara ace, who will come to the Pete on Friday night.
Are you serious?
On Friday night, on opening day, and you see Colby Allen versus Jackson Flora for the first game of the season at the Pete at 4 p.m. on opening day. Fellas, get your popcorn.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about Mr. Flora. I think he just before game time, he might be having an accident. Capiche?
I don't think the accident will be from Kelnack. He'll step on his shoe.
Maybe he'll get some bad fish or something the night. He's going to be they project him as the number two draft choice?
Yes.
And actually, there's a prep player from Oak Grove High School. I think his name is DJ Poole, maybe. Anyway,
what are you talking about?
Oak Grove High School.
Oh, that's EJ.
EJ, what's his? Anyway, he's already committed to Vanderbilt, but he's projected to be a top 15 pick in the Major League Draft right out of high school.
Top 10
at Oak Grove, right up the road here. So, the baseball talent in Mississippi, just the talent cup overflows.
Eric Booth.
Eric Booth. Thank you. Sorry. I don't know where I came up with D. Maybe he had a brother named DJ.
Yeah, Cameron Flukey, who's the Coastal pitcher, by the way, their ace. He's ranked number three, just behind Jackson Flora. So good for him.
And that's
for the Sun Belt.
And that's probably part of where the hype is coming with Coastal Carolina, is guys that are up there in the top five or ten major league picks. That automatically raises some eyebrows. Well, the rest of the team must be good if this guy's a stud.
Right.
I'm going to switch gears for just a minute. I was a little surprised. I read, I think they must be people that don't really know what they're talking about, Kelly. Complaining and fussing about Todd Monken being named the head coach of Cleveland. If I were a Cleveland Browns fan, I'd probably be pretty excited if I knew what I was talking about.
We know better. Right. We know better. And really, Monken, interviewed with the Browns before. We mentioned he also interviewed with the Bengals before they actually hired Zach Taylor, who's still there. And Monken told us on this show that both of those teams, by passing on him the first time, made a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. So this is his chance now. Of course, there's upheaval because Jim Schwartz, who was the defensive coordinator in Cleveland, who a lot of people thought was going to get the head coaching position. He had head coaching experience as the main man with the Detroit Lions. That didn't work out. He has told Cleveland that he's out of there. So this is going to be all Todd Monken's show. And because we know what Todd – oh, my gosh, Bob. Because we know what Todd Monken's all about, we think he's going to be very successful. But holy cow, in Cleveland are some people upset. Mm-hmm. 32 days or 23 days you had to get a coach, and Todd Monken is who you come up with? Again, we know better, and I think once he gets in there, they're going to prove that it was a pretty good choice.
I figure one thing he does immediately is tries to go find a quarterback, right? I don't think Sanders is the quarterback.
Well, he's still got Watson there, right? Mm-hmm. Who's been injured? So, Flacco's with the Bengals. Flacco.
Is he really?
Interesting that you mentioned Flacco because he said that if he doesn't re-sign,
I heard Tony Romo is going to come be the quarterback for y'all next.
Well, stay with me. He said that Flacco says if he doesn't re-sign with the Bengals, he could sign with the Steelers, then he would have played for every team in that division.
How old is he now?
He's 41.
That's not bad. 41. Rivers is what, 45?
And he was still productive, while he was in that role. But I look forward to seeing I think Todd Monken's going to be great. I really do.
Well, it's not like he's done bad in the NFL. I mean, as an OC, he's been awesome.
Right.
So, yeah, he's been really good. Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, a Southern Miss note, Jake Moffitt, the young golf rock star from Ripley, Mississippi.
Doesn't know he's a rock star, by the way.
Actually,
last time I had him on the show, I was like, so what is it? What goes into, you know, being really good at golf? And he was like, man, just hit it straight. That's what he said.
Are you making fun of his speech?
No, I'm just saying it was hilarious because I try to hit it straight every single week when I go out there, and it doesn't work.
But based on Dima's little impression there, I'm not sure that Jake Moffitt is, you talk about being a rock star, I'm not sure he's ever heard a rock song.
His playlist is Morgan Wallen and Brooks and Dunn.
That's exactly what
but
I figured.
Yeah. He was the Ben Hogan Collegiate Golfer of the Month.
He's phenomenal.
He really is.
I mean, he won the pro amateur, right? Down there.
The international.
The bear course.
Walked away
there.
With it.
Yeah.
It wasn't close.
Yeah. They're going to begin their
10 strokes, I think.
They're going to begin their spring season in the middle of February. So it'll be fun to be watching his career. But I think what's so appealing about Jake Moffitt is because he is so oblivious to how good he is.
Yeah. He clearly is.
And because that game, buddy, you got to be. Holy cow, there are some really good golfers out there.
I could make a really good joke about Kelly, but I will refrain from what he just said.
You're going to be nice?
I'm going to be
Kelly
nice.
Kelly doesn't really play golf, do you, Sander?
It's been a while since I've been able to see the ball because of my stomach hanging out.
You scared me there for a second, I got to tell you.
No, I enjoy employment still, Bob. I'd like to be here tomorrow.
Do you walk the 18 holes?
Not if I can help it.
No.
I don't want to walk one hole.
You've never really walked an 18-hole golf course, have you?
Years and years ago. Yeah. What I like to do is go up with the golf, you know, drive up with the golf cart, put down my beverage, and then lean out the right side of the cart with my iron.
You clearly don't pay attention when we're reading these Forest Healthcare commercials, do you, about get a physical, eat right, exercise.
But let me just say this about that. I do hear those. But because of people like me, Forest Health stays in business.
You're right. Okay. They've sent you a few thank you notes.
Yes. Yeah. If everybody heeded their advice, they might go out of business.
Because everybody would be healthy.
That's right.
You wouldn't need the hospital.
So I'm doing my part, Bob. I'm doing my part.
And I'm going to pass that along to the CEO. I'm sure he'll be very grateful to you for that.
Jeff Cook, a former Southern Miss great baseball player in his own right.
There's no question about that.
You know? So.
All right. When we come back, we're going to hear from Matt Present. We'll get the other side of this basketball analysis for later tonight. And as we head into the break, I'll remind you about a couple of our great sponsors, Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. Now, Kelly works out there on a pretty regular, probably more there than at Anatomy's. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I can't. I told you I can't go to Anatomy's. I'm in the government's fitness protection program.
Oh, I got you.
So if the government finds me there, I go to jail. I do the 4 ounce wrist curls at Mo Bay, though.
And if Kelly wasn't so cheap, he'd have a Genesis. From Genesis of Hattiesburg. And Kelly, where would you find a beautiful Genesis sedan?
Well, I would go to their beautiful new showroom. There's nothing else like it as far as the state of Mississippi concerned on Highway 98.
Exclusive.
That means the only one.
Wow. I'm
How
impressed.
About that?
We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. DBAT sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They're on Hardy Street, of course. And, of course, you know about them. State-of-the-art facility for all sorts of sports training. That's where you work out in it, Sander. Is that where you get your training to fine-tune your athletic abilities?
Oh, the athletic ability, it's just coming out my ears.
Is it? It's just natural.
It is. It's God-given.
You were born with that and speed.
God-given.
I will say, DBAT is pretty cool, though. I mean, you can go over there.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, you can go over there, and if you're not even a baseball player, pay, I mean, like $15, and you get about 3 rounds of 20 balls, and you can – like there's digital screens and you can press where you want the ball to hit in the box, and if it's curving, if it's sliding, if it's a fastball, It's actually pretty cool. I've got up there a few times and done it.
And yeah. You do softball too. They have softball pitching. Yep.
And I am very fast. My fork has a racing stripe on it.
Does it really? Yeah. You take it to all the Chinese buffets.
I take my eating seriously.
It's a special fork.
For sure.
It vibrates when he eats too fast.
Matt Present does the play-by-play for Appalachian State basketball, and he just told me he's kind of taking a stroll around Hattiesburg on a beautiful day like today. And Matt, thanks for interrupting your walk to talk to these clowns on this show. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it, guys. When it's been feels like in the negatives in Boone, 55 and sunny, feels like I'm on a beach.
Well, that's surprising because, you know, they closed the schools here if it's under 40. So.
Yeah, they did. They closed the schools here Monday because it was cold. Probably not going to happen in your neck of the woods, is it? Closing schools because it's cold?
It certainly would take a little more than that.
But they stay at the Marriott, Bob. You talk about the App State guys traveling first class.
Well, good. We're glad. I hope you have a great visit here. Give us your perspective. We talked about Southern Miss and things that we think could be troublesome or good for the Golden Eagles tonight. But tell us about the App State basketball team and what our fans should expect tonight, Matt.
Yeah, I think like many teams in the Sun Belt, it's been an up-and-down year, certainly when you have four-game road trips across the schedule and you have so many teams that – have a lot of new players. There's just a lot of volatility week to week, night to night. You're starting to finally see a little separation at the top of the standings with Troy, but man, it's the next nine teams are really neck and neck, all separated by two games. So it's going to be really interesting. App State, I think, has really found its starting five over the course of the last month or so. Two of the best big guys in the conference in Michael Marcus Jr., and Luke Wilson, and then Alonzo Dodd at the guard spot has played really well in Sun Belt play, and Kason Jennings has kind of been the go-to guy all year. So you enter Jalen Tott shooting threes into that equation, and things have started to click, but there isn't a ton of depth. This team really relies heavily on its starting five, and so expect to see those guys contribute a lot tonight.
Well, you had consistency for sure, Matt. And Coach Kern's been there. If he's not the dean of Sun Belt coaches, he's real close. And then the fact that
so it's funny you say that. So Kern's and Ladner have both been at their respective schools now 7 years, and the only guy who's been in the conference longer is Richie Riley now at South Alabama. So certainly a lot of new faces around the league the last few years.
But, man, you guys are playing super tenacious defense. Tell us about that.
Well, I think it's always been kind of the calling card for a Dustin Kearns coach team. The Mountaineers have led the conference in scoring defense each of the last 4 years and looking to make it five with this year's group. I think the biggest difference is that this group has put much more of an emphasis on offensive rebounding than in years past, and a lot of times when you commit more bodies and more emphasis to the offensive glass, you tend to give up something on the other end, but that really hasn't happened this year. So it's been really cool to see that the Mountaineers have found a way to gain more possessions on the glass while still really being stingy defensively.
You know, Matt, you mentioned in your opening monologue there about how, you know, these four-game road swings have just been so brutal to all these Sun Belt teams, and that's something that we've documented on this show, you know, four-game road trips, bruising confidence and things like that. I don't really know what they're going to do to change it. You would hope that they would make it no more than three. But I guess, you know, looking around the league, and like you said, the Sun Belt itself is so close in the stance of the standings that it's really not being affected by that much. And it's honestly, some would argue, working that you have this much parity among the second-ranked Sun Belt team versus the 11th.
Yeah, I don't really know what you do about it from a scheduling perspective. I think the Sun Belt, travel-wise, is a really good conference in so many different sports, whether it's a weekend series in baseball or a single football game. Like, most of your, at least, division opponents are 5 hours away. But then when you have to factor in a second opponent in basketball the way you travel two in a week, it certainly does add up the miles quickly. And, yeah, someone tried to tell me a couple years ago that you have to have four straight for it to work out, for everyone to play the same home and road schedule. I didn't quite follow the math there, but here we are.
You know, a graduate of the University of Maryland, a Terrapin, now in his fifth year at the microphone for the Mountaineers, Appalachian State, coming in here tonight at 7. I wanted to just ask a quick football question while we got you, Matt. The news that came down that Coach Clark, the former football coach, you know, died of a heart attack or whatever, no, it was an aneurysm, just after, you know, he was there for, had some good years at Appalachian State, and then boom, that happens. What was the reaction initially, and how did that kind of sink in?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are still kind of grappling with it. Really, really unfortunate. A celebration of life ceremony just got announced by his family in Orlando later this spring. So certainly thinking about his family and, you know, everyone affected by it. I got a chance to get to know him a little bit year before last, my first year doing sidelines for football, and just a really, really special guy in the way in which he invested his time and care for other people. I think there's very few Division I football coaches in the country that kind of pour into other people and spend their time just kind of getting to know people and embracing everyone in their circle, if you will, and just kind of getting to sit in his office and chop it up a little bit is something I'll remember, just kind of the admiration that people had for him and the way that he cared about App State as his alma mater.
Now, you got a 7 o'clock tip-off tonight. This is one, like, this game tonight against Southern Miss, this is one you guys feel like you really can get, don't you? I mean, I know you have to always feel like that about every game, but deep down inside, this is one I think you guys think you can get.
I mean, I think two things can be true at the same time. I think on one hand, the Sun Belt, as we talked about, has so much parity, and you kind of feel like any given night, you know, any team can win. I mean, we saw last night Marshall went down on the road against Texas State in what I think is a fairly notable upset. Arkansas State losing at home to Old Dominion, fairly notable upset. So I think there's so many data points and examples of, you know, upsets, if you want to call it that, in the Sun Belt this season. I don't know that you go into any game feeling super confident, but I think the one thing, if I was going to point to it, in terms of Southern Miss, maybe two things. One is that I think the record for the Golden Eagles is a little bit misleading. 4 of their 5 conference wins are against Louisiana or ULM, who are at the bottom of the Sun Belt. So I think right now those 4 games are really buoying a record that's right now a little bit inflated. I think the other thing is that Southern Miss, statistically and from a stylistic perspective, they shoot so few threes. They have the fewest percentage of points from three-point range of any team in the country. And App State, stylistically, defensively, likes to pack it in and force you to take jump shots from, you know, a long 2 or a 3 just in terms of what the Mountaineers are going to give up defensively. And so I think from a philosophy standpoint, that matchup plays into App State's favor.
Anybody who's followed the Golden Eagles might have just heard you say that and said, yikes.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that.
We just talked about that in the first segment, about how if I was App State, I would play 2-3 defense, just put everybody in the box, and then make Southern Miss shoot threes. And, they haven't been able to do it.
Hey, Matt, just about 60 seconds left. Clarify something for me. Go back last year to the hurricane and all the terrible flooding that occurred in your part of the country. Number one, how adversely affected was the university, and how are recovery efforts in your neck of the woods now?
Boy, I don't know that I can do all that in 60 seconds. The SparkNote answer is that I appreciate you and everyone else who's asked and cared for us and our community. Certainly there was really significant damage to many parts of the region not too far from us. The university sustained limited damage. I think at this point, if you were on campus or around campus, you would not know that there was a hurricane a year ago. There's nothing substantial for the university itself. But if you go 15 to 30 minutes west of the university, there's still people who are without homes. There's still roads that are being rebuilt. So I think it's, you know, different pockets of the region got hit differently. And so there's certainly some people that were back to normal in just a couple months, and there's some people that, unfortunately, this is going to be a couple more years in terms of recovery.
Well, sorry to hear that, but certainly our thoughts are with everybody in your neck of the woods, and we're glad that the university remains relatively unscathed. All right, Matt, thanks very much, man. We're looking forward to a great game tonight. Really appreciate your time. Go enjoy your walk here in the burg.
Sounds good. I appreciate you guys.
All right, and that's something that Kelly has never done.
No, have you ever done that, Kelly? Take a long walk on a...
I've been told by many women to take a long walk off a short cliff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were aware of that, but have you ever taken a long walk through the community?
I didn't know women spoke to you.
Walk?
Walk.
What is that?
Do women speak to you?
Not anymore.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
I want to thank Matt Present from Appalachian State. They had their shoot around a couple hours ago, and now just kind of sitting around waiting on the game tonight. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors the last segment of our show every day, and we appreciate all the years they've been with us. Great place for lunch and dinner. Great place to catch some good ball games over the weekend. I'm sure they have a lot of basketball on the TVs at 4th Street Bar and Grill, and always a lot of good camaraderie down there. All right, so the Hall of Fame for the NFL comes out. There are some guys with some kind of connections we know about. Let's hear about it, Kelly.
Yeah, the final vote won't be taken until another week or so, and the final class will be announced Super Bowl weekend. But when you look at some of the people that are up for induction, including Drew Brees, former Saints quarterback, of course. You got Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver for the Cardinals. Frank Gore Sr. Right. Now, that guy has been really underrated his entire career, I think, but I'm glad that he's on this final ballot. Torrey Holt, wide receiver of the Rams, on there. Luke Kuechly, a linebacker with the Panthers. Eli Manning, not in the Hall of Fame. Adam Vinatieri, the kicker for the Patriots. Reggie Wayne, Jason Witten, the tight end of the Cowboys. Darren Woodson, who was with the Cowboys, and a guard tackle, Marshall Yanda, with the Baltimore Ravens. But one name that
now
is...
Now, all of those guys will not be in the
correct.
Hall of Fame.
Correct. Those are among the people that are on the final ballot.
Don't they select like five or something? It's not...
But guess who's not? And you two guys explain it to me. Go ahead.
Well, Bill Belichick is not on the list. And look, I am not personally a Bill Belichick fan, but I never want to discredit somebody where credit is due as far as their work goes. And I don't know, with an NFL coach that has 6 Super Bowl rings, how you cannot include Bill Belichick on that list.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people have been talking about it, but I've yet to really hear an argument to me that is acceptable. Yeah. Pete Rose, when he didn't get in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you know, there was the betting scandal. But I don't know what could possibly be the beef with Belichick.
Well, one positive thing is he waited 49 years for his now girlfriend to be born, so I'm sure he'll be patient.
Whoa. Oh boy.
But at his age, he can only be so much more patient, Bob. You know.
He doesn't have another 49 years.
That's right.
Kelly.
We got the Southern Miss Twitter coming at us. We're about to have something else coming at us. Whoa.
So, I mean, how do you explain that, Dino?
Well, I was just blindsided by Bob's comment there. There's no debate. This man has 6 rings. 6 rings.
It should have been a no-brainer.
I mean, it's not even a question. It's not even a debate. And like you said, I don't like Bill Belichick. I don't think he's like a great guy. But he wins.
Yeah.
What could be the reason that he
like there's legitimately no reason unless you think, you know, of course with the deflating football stuff. Like there was a lot of scandals,
that's,
I guess. But
that's
like,
what some people have
like,
said.
Come
yeah.
on. Like seriously. And are you kidding me?
Don't we all know that cheating goes on in the NFL every day? I mean
It apparently goes on, you know, more places than the NFL.
Yeah, you just
Everybody's always going to grab that edge when it's like for years, baseball players with the little sticky stuff on their gloves and stuff like that.
And Belichick, I mean, and people can say, well, Tom Brady was really the reason that. Now, it's like, that's one player can't. Yeah. I mean, one player can make a difference at that position, I mean, but not all.
It's
the
comparable
difference.
To like Nick Saban not being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's
think
exact
that's fair
comparison.
Until somebody beats him, he really has to be considered the best NFL coach of all time.
I think
he's
so.
He's up there.
Yeah.
Considering it's certainly in the modern era.
Modern. You think he's better than John Madden, though? I mean, he was.
Well, or Joe Gibbs was a great coach. Three Super Bowls.
I think it's debatable, but he's definitely up there.
Right.
And he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Not debatable.
Yeah, that's not debatable.
Lombardi and Halas. Lombardi. A couple of other guys that. But
with Nick Saban, there is no debate. There's no coach that was better than him. He's better than.
Well, give the guy at Indiana a few more years at this pace, and maybe that's what they'll be saying about him.
Cignetti.
Yeah, my gosh, what he did. But anyway, back to Belichick. Ridiculous.
Yeah, so the weekend of the Super Bowl, which is being played in the San Francisco area this year, they will announce the final class, the actual class that will be inducted in Canton coming up this August. So good luck to – you would think that Drew Brees would be a sure bet to get in.
Yeah, I think Drew Brees for sure. Some of the other names, Eli Manning has to be, you would think.
Yeah, you would
think – Bill Belichick would have to be.
Right.
I think Larry Fitzgerald was on there, and he seems to be.
He definitely deserves to be.
Yeah, he should be in there. There was another player that was notable that was on there that I'm slipping my mind, but
And lots of times I think they give, and this is kind of biting the hand that feeds me, but lots of times I think they give too much power in these things to journalists because it's all subjective. I think the only people that should vote on the Hall of Fame are people that are in the Hall of Fame or players who have played in the National Football League who know what it takes to be great.
As opposed
Greg
to
Olson for
correct.
The Panthers. Greg Olson for the Panthers would probably be inducted.
Yeah.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we could argue that all day long, but the players always know who the best players
are.
Well,
we'll try to find Patrick McGee tomorrow in New Orleans, get his thoughts. There's two Saints on that list. Good day for the New Orleans Saints, for sure.
It's the only thing they win.
Yeah.
Well. Now, they didn't finish that badly this year, Dima.
They came on strong.
I'm just glad it wasn't Spencer Rattler coming on strong.
Yeah. Kelly will be grabbing some interviews with softball players later today. We'll bring those to you over the next few days, try to get back out to the Pete as well.
Yeah, it's really interesting that 4th Street Bar and Grill is right there by the softball field, and so is Mobe Beignet Company. So, things that make
on
you
your
go,
way
hmm.
back. Okay,
that's when the steering wheel just turns and he's trying to pull it back,
kinda,
but it just
kind of gets those shakes.
That's right. I ask much more biting, cutting questions after a couple of PBRs
and topped it off with some beignets.
Yes, yes. Breakfast of champions, baby.
Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss
to the top.
To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.